I know it's not a great source of theology, but one of the Seinfeld episodes had some wisdom in it that I think applies to what we learn in our gospel story today. There is an episode of Seinfeld, which is, as they tell you, is a show about nothing. There's an episode where he is in tight traffic and he lets someone in and the person doesn't wave at him to thank him. And he spends the whole rest of the episode saying, "Where's my thank you wave?" You know, like, "I let you in, where's my thank you wave?" Like most Seinfeld episodes, it's funny because it is so close to home. And it is so much about human nature. We will do good things, but we would like to get a little credit for it when we do something that we don't have to do. It is a human characteristic to need recognition and appreciation of the things we do that are good. And our instinct is that we have to earn love. And the flip side of that instinct is that when we give love, we should get a thank you wave. We should get some kind of affirmation and appreciation. Here's the thing, though. God doesn't need validation, affirmation, or credit. So why tell us a story that puts emphasis on the appreciation expressed by one person cured, while the other nine show no appreciation and no gratitude? Why tell this story? If God doesn't need validation and affirmation, why would Jesus be so insistent on the expression of gratitude? Why tell this story at all? Jesus talks to us about gratitude because he knows that living in that stance makes our lives better, fuller, and more joyful. Not because God needs it, but because we need it. And if we live individually in a grateful way, I think it transfers over into the way our world operates. He asks us to have gratitude because he knows that the Holy Spirit can more fully fill us if we completely empty ourselves of our pride and our agendas and our self-reliance. Having gratitude invites its first cousin, grace. Both words, of course, come from the same roots. And if we remember constantly that we're defined by being the beloved of God and not by the good we have done, we can let go of our anxiety. A book that I have referred to many times, I think is probably in the top five of nonfiction books I've ever read, is called The Wisest One in the Room. And one of the sections in that book talks about why we have had, in the last few generations, no intergenerational increase in happiness. In other words, for a while there, each generation saw itself as happier than the one before, but the last few generations, we haven't seen that so much. And the book suggests, or cites studies that suggest, that it is because we are on a hedonic treadmill, a treadmill of hedonism, of trying so hard to please ourselves and never getting there. Like, if we get a thing that we really like, we want the next thing when it comes out. I cite here the iPhone 7. The advertisers would have us believe people are already lining up for it. And sadly, they may be right. But if we get our worth in things alone, then if somebody else has a better thing, then we want that. Or we want the new one when it comes out, because our thing is the last one. He says we're on this treadmill, the author says we're on this treadmill, and so if it's about things, once it was about having enough things to survive, so the next generation was happier because they didn't worry so much about that. Now it's about having things to define us, and we can never have enough to fill us. The epistle today says if we have died with him, we will also live with him, which means if we can empty ourselves of these needs for material things to define us, of the need for affirmation and appreciation, if we can empty ourselves, then God can work fully in us. Jesus says, I came to you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That doesn't mean more stuff. It means more peace and less anxiety. Some traditions, I think, would say of this story that this is the meaning. If you don't express your gratitude for what God has given you, then God will not help you the next time. Those traditions, to my mind, take the good right out of the good news of the gospel. They suggest we have to earn our way to heaven, to earn life after death. People with that view of God, not only do they not live in gratitude and in a state of grace, they live in a constant state of fear of doing something wrong. Besides, if we do feel that we have to earn our way into God's favor, then the sacrifice that Christ made means nothing. The grace and initiative of God mean nothing. When we have what we need, when we've been healed, it's easy to just, like the nine, go on our way and forget that we need anything outside ourselves. We begin once again to think we can handle it all on our own, and we slide into that tendency in which we think we earn the grace of God. But if we live in gratitude, we have to remember constantly that we are given gifts by God. That allows us to have a life that is full and joyful, with less anxiety and busyness. Jesus tries to teach us in this gospel story to express gratitude not because God needs it, but because we do. Living a life of gratitude helps us remember always that we are loved by God, not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done. We don't live the gospel according to Seinfeld, a story in which we do good for the thank you wave, so that we can be validated and affirmed and praised. We live the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel which says that God is with us always, no matter what we do, and that nothing can hurt us if we remember God's grace. So we do good. We try to live lives of justice and compassion and generosity, not to earn something, but out of gratitude, to thank God for having saved us from having to prove ourselves. In gratitude, we practice remembering that God is all we need. It isn't that God needs a thank you wave from us. God needs nothing from us. This gratitude we're urged to practice is not about validating God, but about no longer having to live in fear of being left behind. The gratitude Jesus urges us to practice is not about earning life after death. Doesn't Jesus want us to have life after death? Of course. But if we live in gratitude, we get another gift from God. We get to enjoy life before that. Amen.